Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
Well, Justin, tell me, what did you think about Ocean's 11?
It was fun. I mean,
it is fun.
Long story short, it was fun.
I agree. So, for those of you tuning in, Ocean's 11 is a 2001 heist movie. All right? With Matt Damon and George Clooney and Brad Pitt and a whole bunch of others that, quite honestly, I don't remember the cover art. So, in it, Danny Ocean, played by George Clooney, he gets out of prison, and the first thing he does is he basically skips on parole to head to Vegas with the express intention of robbing a whole bunch of casinos.
Yep.
All owned by this one guy, Terry Benedict, who, surprisingly, is a competent villain, in big quotes. Antagonist is probably the better word.
Yeah, he's...
Opponent?
Opponent, yeah. He's a businessman. He's a ruthless businessman, but he's a businessman.
And he's good at it.
Yeah.
You know, he's smart, he's disciplined, slightly predictable, but it works. And we why this is, we have no earthly clue until like halfway through the movie, when we find out it's because Terry Benedict is shtupping Danny Ocean's wife.
Ex.
In the last month of his prison.
Yeah. Since
she said she'd write. But to do this, Danny Ocean assembles a team of 11, hence Ocean's 11, in order to do this. Long story short, they're successful. Short story long, we're not going to do that. Because this movie, to me, is the definition of style over substance.
Yeah.
It is a fun movie. It's enjoyable to watch. But quite honestly, it is so shallow that we cannot dive into it without risking our necks.
That's fair.
Well, and I recommended this because we'd watched some different movies and, you know, different kind of things. And I wanted something that was easy. And this is an easy movie.
Yes.
Competently acted pretty well across the board. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't say that there's a stinker in that. But when you watch it, and I would like to hear your perspective on it. While I was watching it, I realized nothing ever goes wrong for the party. Even when something appears to go wrong, it's retconned later that it wasn't really wrong. It's like watching a really long, expensive episode of Leverage.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
It's like, so, for example, Matt Damon's character is supposed to shadow Danny Ocean. You know, Brad Pitt's character says, hey, follow him because something's gone screwy. And he does that. And then we have this moment where it's revealed that Matt Damon has been following George Clooney around. And then we find out that it was all part of the plan. You know, that Brad Pitt, that George Clooney knew that Brad Pitt was doing this to have Matt. It's like, what? Or I would say probably the closest thing that happens to going wrong is there is a casino that's being demolished. And when it's demolished, it cuts the power, which is one of the steps of breaking into all these casinos.
Yes.
You need to cut the power for like 10 seconds. And the building being demolished by the city does that. And so they fix it so it can't happen again. That's the closest thing we have to a problem. And it's solved in what, 10 minutes?
Yes.
When the guy's just like, oh, no, we just need an EMP. Which is like a nuclear explosion, only without all the death and irradiation in it.
And there's one like three blocks away.
Yeah. So, and then the closest thing to a problem of that is Matt Damon's character being told to wait in the van and not wanting to do it. So, or Danny Ocean showing up on the night of the heist and being put into a locked room and he's going to get basically tuned up by a goon that's a friend of his.
Yeah.
That's on the payroll. This is not a movie to think about.
Mm-mm.
It's not a movie to really deeply engage on a metaphysical level, but it is a movie to have fun with.
Absolutely.
And so I'm interested what parts for you, you know, having watched this and realizing, you know, because you had to have realized in the first 20 minutes what kind of movie this is.
Oh.
We've seen too many movies to not know this. Like, oh, it's one of those.
Yeah. as soon as he skipped parole, I'm like, okay, I know where we're going. I know what's going on here.
He's on the phone. He's like, no, I'm definitely not planning any crimes.
Yeah, and that's when I knew.
So they carry this over into the sequels, by the by. The second movie, so Julia Roberts plays the ex-wife.
Yes.
Tess. In the next movie, there is a subplot in which Tess pretends to be a pregnant Julia Roberts because she looks so much like her.
Hmm. All right.
It's just that kind of movie. And so I don't have tons to say about it other than it's rollicking good fun.
And I agree. It was a fun watch. It's a popcorn flick. You sit there and you just enjoy it.
This is one of the...
There were many times where I'm watching this, I'm going, what the hell are they doing? Oh, okay. And stupid things that happen, and I was just laughing out loud.
So for those of you who are listening at home or in the car, or wherever it is that you listen to us, thank you, by the way.
Yes.
It's a half hour of setting up the team. About 45 minutes of planning and about 45 minutes of execution, you know, of the plan, give or take. There is no part of it that isn't at least mildly enjoyable, whether it's Brad Pitt trying to teach Eric Foreman how to play poker.
What I loved about that scene is they were playing themselves. They had a bunch of teen actors from around that time period playing stupid versions of themselves who don't understand poker. There's this scene where this camera just kind of pans around the table and you're like, I know that face. Oh, it's that one dude from Dawson's Creek. Oh, it's one of the chicks from Charmed. It's, you know, it's like, oh. And yeah, I'm like, okay, what are they doing? And then they started calling it. Yeah. And then they started using their real names. I'm like, okay.
Topher Grace, that's the name.
Topher Grace, Topher. Yeah. I got all reds. It's like a 2, a 6, a 9. It's
like, but it's hearts and diamonds.
Hearts like and diamonds,
had a flush.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just all cards that are red, and everyone on the table except Brad Pitt is like, oh, man.
Oh, and then he starts collecting the chips like he's won. But it may not be talking it up much, you know, because like I say, it's shallow. It's a well-constructed, well-put-together movie. It is stylish. It moves well. It's got this beautiful energy to it. And the first time you watch it, there might even be a couple of times where you're caught by surprise. You know, when Saul has his spell.
Yes.
At the end, you're like, oh, is this where we're finally going to get that there's an actual wrench thrown into things? Oh, no, never mind. That's Brad Pitt in a bad wig being a doctor.
Yeah. And I want to say, seeing Carl Reiner again was a delight.
And I like that he's... I like how threatening he is.
Yes.
You know? He's there is a scene. Now, Carl Reiner's old. I mean, even in this you know, even 19 years ago, he was still an old man.
Yeah.
And there's this, he's being sized for a suit, you know, this Italian, you know, silk and delightful. And George Clooney's character goes up, he's like, Saul, are you ready for this? And Carl Reiner playing Saul, he just looks over, he's like, if you ever ask me that again, I'll kill you. And you kind of believe it. Like, you wonder if that wasn't the first scene that they shot. And Reiner wasn't in on the joke yet.
And Clooney just kind of takes a beat and looks back at Brad Pitt and goes, yeah, he's ready.
He's ready. Yeah, he's ready.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah. Never mind.
But, like I said, there's not really a bad actor in this.
No. And like you said, no. It's shallow, but it's well written. Well, yes. The cinematography is great. Well shot, well produced, well acted. It just really doesn't make you think, which isn't an admonishment. It's sometimes you just want a movie that you can just watch and just let it unfold in front of you without having to go back and go, okay, I got to pause this for a minute and reconnect the dots because I don't remember where this person came from. It's like, no, everything is laid out for you within the first half hour, and then you're on the roller coaster.
And I think I enjoy that no one's really a butthead in this.
There are some butthead-ish moments.
Yes.
And I would say ultimately Danny Ocean is a butthead.
I would say he's the most charming butthead.
Yes.
In the movie. I guess in my mind it's once the team's assembled, with the exception of Matt Damon's character being kind of left out of some of the loop, no one on the team is really a butthead to each other except for the two brothers.
Yes, but they...
And that's just because they're brothers.
Yeah, and they set that up from the very beginning. As soon as they show up, they're always at each other. And that adds to, you know, comedic moments.
But they're not like that to anybody else. Danny Ocean... He's the guy who uses things. You know, he's the mastermind. He's the one that's got the plan. You know, but even his butthead moments, they kind of come back around.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's not really being a butthead. He's, you know, playing his angle.
Yeah.
So to speak. But, you know, like Terry Benedict, the opponent, he's not really a butthead. You know, and you start to wonder, it's like, why is this guy being the target? And then it's just like, oh, because you're jealous.
Yeah.
That's one of the great motivations in history.
It's one of the oldest.
You're trying to take something that used to be mine, which is a problematic phrase and sentence in its own right,
yes,
by the by.
Yes.
But that's exactly what's going on there.
Yes.
As far as Danny Ocean is concerned, Tess is... his wife, and Terry Benedict is trying to take his wife. So
ultimately, you know, he's, and this is, you know, exaggerating yet putting too fine a point on it. He's a child who sees somebody else playing with a toy that he suddenly wants again. It's like, you put it,
yeah.
And this didn't really happen, but it's like, you put it down. So Jimmy's now playing with it and, you know.
Which, again, is a really problematic phrase.
Yes. Yes. we at the Geek Cave do not condone the fact that women are objects or anybody else is an object. It was an example and probably a bad one.
Yeah. Yeah, we've made really bad examples before.
And it won't be the last.
Here we are at the Geek Cave telling people what not to do. That's why Darren and I had a conversation about Cyberpunk 2077 a couple of weeks ago or a few weeks ago.
Yeah. But
what not to do?
By the way, go check out our new show, The Geek Cave TLDR, Too Long Didn't Read.
The news for people who are like, that article's like four paragraphs long. We'll turn those four paragraphs into 15 minutes.
We ought to do a TLDR recipe edition where we just read off the ingredients. and the instructions.
Geek Cave 4.0 coming in 2022. Maybe we'll finally get the Geek Cave spouses to do Pernhub.
Copyright geekcavepodcast.com.
Yeah. So, in conclusion, I think that you should go see Ocean's 11. You can watch it on IMDb through Amazon right now with some commercials, but they keep everything in it. You can buy a 4-pack that has all three of the early 2000 movies and the 1960s one with Sinatra and Martin and so forth. Not as good, not as stylish, although the caliber of the singing is way higher. Spoiler alert, there is no singing in Ocean's 11.
I don't recall ever hearing Brad Pitt or George Clooney sing, but I'm pretty sure Sinatra, Martin, and Sammy Davis Jr. could take them.
Most likely.
Yes.
Most likely. So
I recommend seeing it as well, and probably you can see it on your own like I did, and I enjoyed it. See it with friends, mm-hmm. probably better, especially if it's your second viewing.
I would say on the second viewing, having a group around that you can just kind of popcorn it up.
Yes.
Because once you've seen it once, really you can talk your way through it. You know, I just kind of look up because it's a very visual movie. There's good script writing and good snappy dialogue as well. But once you've heard it once, you kind of get what's going on. And so you don't need to pick up all of the jokes. But yeah. See Ocean's 11. It's style over substance. Nothing bad happens. The good guys, in big air quotes, because they're all thieves, win.
The protagonists win.
The protagonists win. And then there's two more movies, you know, in this particular set that are continuations of this one. You know, the next one is a return to Terry Benedict, you know, who's hunting them all down. The third one has another Terry Benedict kind of thing to it. I mean, it just keeps going. I haven't seen Ocean's 8 yet. I have no idea what it is.
That I read up on it.
I mean, I know what it is, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah. From what I've read, it follows Danny's sister.
Mm. Okay. Well, I do like that idea.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Go see it. You know, like I said, you can watch it for free through Amazon on the IMDb channel or, you know, pick it up for $5 on DVD. It doesn't really need Blu-ray.
No.
I'll just throw that out there. It's not that kind of movie. So, all right. So I guess that wraps that up. It's your turn to pick. You got any ideas?
Oh, yes. And I think I have something that's going to pair nicely with this.
I look forward to it.